Hi. Did you ever see that Lucy episode where she went to that little town that barely had any people living in the town, and so the guy wore the hat, the police hat, the mayor hat, the hotel hat. I kind of felt like I had the worship hat, and now here I am. So if I haven't met you before, my name's Morgan, and I'm Pastor Damian and Karen's daughter, one of their daughters, and wife to Jonathan Kaler. And my mom and dad are at a pastor's conference this week, so my mom asked me to teach on this topic of discipline. And also I want to tell you about our afterglow next Wednesday. We have childcare just as the same as every night next week. And I think that we all probably talk a lot more to the Lord than we do listening to the Lord. And this night is set aside to just listen to what is on the mind and the heart of God for us. And don't miss out on it. Come out next week, same time, and your children are taken care of, and so it'll be great. Will you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? And we're going to start in verse 24, but let's pray once again. Lord, we know that you are the author of this book, and we know you to be altogether wise and all-knowing and gracious to your children. And we pray that you would impart wisdom to us tonight, understanding and everything that you want us to learn, that you want us to grow in. We want to hear that. We've already surrendered to you in song. And so we open our ears, we open our hearts open to you, Lord, to have you work in us and through us. And we pray that you would do that by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start in verse 24. Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified or disapproved." And tonight we are looking at a disciplined life. And I don't know about you, but when I saw a disciplined life on the schedule, I was very intrigued by the title. The title in and of itself just sounds so perfect and wonderful. And I asked myself, what does a whole life dominated by discipline look like? And the Lord directed me to this passage. And in this passage, Paul likens the intensity of an athlete's discipline to the intensity of discipline that we need in our Christian walk. If we were to think of one person in the Bible who had a disciplined life other than the Lord Jesus, I'm sure we would all think of Paul. His life was a life of discipline that we have all benefited by. It isn't until the last verse of our passage that Paul writes the word discipline, but he uses a very strong and real parallel of discipline in the previous verses. And before we get there, let's look at this word discipline. What does discipline mean? And maybe you looked it up this week, and this is a definition that I found and liked. Self-discipline refers to the training that one gives oneself to accomplish a certain task or to adopt a particular pattern of behavior, even though one would really rather be doing something else. Thus, self-discipline is the assertion of willpower over more base desires and is usually understood to be a synonym of self-control. So discipline uses willpower and self-control with motivation to achieve a particular goal. And in verse 24, Paul likens our Christian walk to a race. We are going to look at some parallels of physical race to our spiritual race, but first let's answer the questions that would automatically come into my mind already at this point. What is my motivation and what is my goal? So let's look at motivation. Earlier in chapter 8, Paul writes to the church of Corinth, speaking to them about the law of love, the law of the Spirit that we now live under as Christians. our love for God and our love for others should be the driving force or motivation in our Christian race. We will discipline our lives in a far greater way because of our love for the Lord and for others. Before Christ, we were taught some form of discipline in life. We disciplined ourselves for fear of embarrassment or for fear of a bad consequence. We wouldn't come into a public setting as an adult and cry bitterly, yelling, "No one understands!" Or we wouldn't hit that rude clerk, even if we wanted to, behind the counter. And why wouldn't we do that? Because we didn't want to look foolish, or because we didn't want to get in trouble. We would once gossip as much as we could without it coming back and biting us. We would discipline ourselves to achieve something that we wanted. Maybe there was a car or a house that we really wanted. We discipline ourselves with our finances in order to get the thing that we wanted. We would once discipline ourselves for our benefit, for self-preservation, or out of a selfish motive. Is this commendable? Not really. It is especially not commendable if the only areas that we are disciplined in life are attained by selfish motivation, and we neglect to be disciplined in areas that pertain to being faithful to God. Our discipline was once for self-love, but it is now for selfless love. Biblical discipline in whatever form is always out of a motivation of love. So motivation is the driving force to get to our goal. Love is what drives us. Now, what is our goal? Our goal is being faithful to Jesus. When Paul says that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize, Paul speaks of a reward for our faithfulness, a prize for our faithfulness to the Lord. Paul is saying with the same dedication, determination, and discipline that one uses in a race to win the prize, let us run with that same determination, same dedication, and discipline in our Christian walk. Let us run as winners. A runner is dominated by their goal. So we must run this race with a motivation of love, with a goal of being faithful to Jesus. And just for clarification, notice that Paul does not say to run in such a way that looks better than your opponents. Our goal is not to be better or look better than everyone else. We do not strive to discipline ourselves in order to look better than others. And I'm sure most of you know the old fable, the tortoise and the hare. And the hare was very proud, very boastful. He thought he was it. And he let everybody know. And he could run, he could beat anybody. And the tortoise heard this, and he didn't agree with that. And so the hare challenged the tortoise to a race, and the tortoise accepted. So here they are in the race. You all can see the picture from your fable book back home, your children's fable book. And the hare shoots off and is going, and looking back at the tortoise, and the tortoise is just looking ahead. Oh, it's like slow motion, just looking at that goal, slow motion. Well, the hare is so cocky and is so confident that he's going to win this race that he decides to take a nap. And you know the story, the tortoise passes him up, wins the race, and the moral of the story is slow and steady wins the race. But for us, we can look at what was the hare's problem. He was focused on the tortoise and beating others and looking good rather than the goal. And the tortoise was focused on finishing the race, step by step, looking ahead. And the hare had everything going for him. Long, sprightly legs and big feet and fit, looks great. And the tortoise had a heavy shell, short, stubby legs. Someone could think the hare is surely more disciplined than the tortoise. Just look at him. But the real discipline that was needed for the hare was to discipline his mind on that goal, on mind what he needs to think about, while the tortoise needed to discipline his body. They had different areas of strengths and weaknesses. And Paul writes later in 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." I'm not the standard for discipline. You're not the standard for a disciplined life. If we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves, we can endanger our own race. It's going to do either one of two things. One is we're going to become proud and think that we're better than others, or we will become discouraged, both slowing us down in the race and certainly taking our joy from our race. To one, it takes great discipline to do one thing. To another, it doesn't. It may come more natural, and vice versa. So our motive is love, and our goal is being faithful to Jesus. We are to look to Jesus. There are two things that can slow us down or even stop us in our race. These two things are sin and liberties. We must discipline our lives in order to run without either of these weights. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, probably the Apostle Paul wrote this as well. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Obedience to God's word is non-negotiable discipline in our lives. Just as in a race, we need to make sure that we know the rules in our Christian walk. And we know that, of course, we receive the rules from the Bible. We know, we study, and we don't want to miss a rule for sake of winning the race. Obedience to these rules is vital to winning the race. We cannot expect to succeed without knowing what is expected of us. And we cannot expect to get a prize for doing it our way, either in ignorance or with self-will. I don't know how many of you watched the Olympics just a couple of weeks ago. And if you did, maybe you saw the speed skating 10,000 meter race. And there was a Dutch man where the cameras were all on him. He was the thing. He was going to beat the time, have a gold, and they barely put the camera on anybody else. It was all about him. And he disciplined his life for the goal of the Olympic medal. In this race, he was to change from the inner to the outer to the inner to the outer. I just did that backwards, but lanes every other lap. He switched. He was going around, and he was going to go in the outer lane, and his coach called last minute, inner lane. So he switched to the inner lane at the last moment, and he was doubtful of his decision but was unsure where he was supposed to be. When he ended the race, coming in first, far ahead of everybody else, he beat the time. His coach came over to him immediately and said that he actually did not win the race. He had failed to use the correct lane, the appointed lane, on that particular lap. And he was angry and utterly disappointed. It was very sad to watch. He knew the rules, and he knew that the rules were unchanging. He had failed to be sure and certain that he was in the correct lane. There was no award given to him for best looking. You tried really hard, almost got it. He did not get a medal. You either win the race following the rules or you don't win at all. We must be alert. We must be vigilant to know God's word and be obedient to it if we want to run as winners. We must discipline ourselves to keep God's word as our standard and as our guide. We must be disciplined in our liberties. We also see in a race that runners give up their liberties for the sake of the race. They give up things that they desire to do. They won't party the night before a race. They'll get a good night's sleep. They're on the strictest diet. So what do liberties look like in our Christian walk? They are things that are not spoken of directly in the Bible. We know that a liberty becomes a weight when it takes our eyes off of Jesus or it takes others' eyes off of Jesus. This is a time to say no to that liberty in order to run with endurance and remain faithful to the Lord. We must discipline ourselves to not take part in that liberty so that we can remain faithful to the Lord. Liberties can be so many things. It can be having a glass of wine, watching certain movies, what we choose to wear, where we might go, or maybe a relationship that we have. The law of love must dictate which liberties we partake in. We have to ask ourselves, does this liberty affect my faithfulness to the Lord? Does it shift him into second place in my mind or heart? And if it does, it needs to go out. We need to say no to it. We can ask ourselves, does this glass of wine take my eyes off of Jesus, or does it take others' eyes off of Jesus? If it does, then we give it up. Does this thing that we're wearing take my eyes off of Jesus or others off of Jesus? Then you just say, no, I'm not doing it. And also, as a side note, because we have different liberties, if you are married and your husband has a liberty he has that liberty, and it doesn't stumble him. It doesn't take his eyes off of Jesus. But you don't have that liberty. It's good to communicate that it may be to go to a place or watch something or in a certain situation. It takes you 2 or 3 days to get over that and get back running on your feet. Explain that to him so that you know where your weaknesses and strengths are and that you're not in a cycle all of the time. So just because we can doesn't mean we should with liberties. We are to lay aside even lawful things in order for the higher goal. Being faithful to Jesus must be the utmost important in our lives. Our liberties should be a very, very far second, third, fourth. Our rights must be balanced with discipline or self-control. In verse 25, Paul says that the athlete is temperate. She is moderate in her desires. She is controlled. Just as the athlete, we should be disciplined and sensible in our desires. Our desires should reflect our goal, being faithful to Jesus. Paul speaks of the perishable crown that is given for a physical race. It would be the same as receiving a gold medal in the Olympics. There are those who give their bodies, their minds, their lives for the moment that they receive that perishable crown. And Paul says, how much more should we give our bodies, our minds, our lives for an imperishable crown, a crown that never fades? This crown is the reward that we will receive in heaven for our faithfulness to the Lord. And this crown is called the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy. We have a crown that is in the making for us right now. And the idea isn't that we would look at that crown one day and say how beautiful, how lovely it is, but we would look at it and say, by God's marvelous grace, we would know that he saw what we did, how we obeyed him, how we honored him, how we disciplined our lives to be obedient to him. Paul sacrificed his present desires for his future reward. In verse 26, Paul is saying that he had a purpose. He had a goal. He had intentions in mind. We too have a purpose and a goal and intention. Verse 27, Paul said, I discipline myself, bringing my body in subjection for the sake of serving Christ and winning lost souls to Christ. At one time, we were subject to our bodily appetites at the mercy of our unruly flesh. Now our spirit rules, having been born again by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit rules our lives. Our bodies do not. What does Paul mean when he says, lest I be disqualified or disapproved? He's saying, lest I be in a state where the Lord would have to remove me from service, my ministry being of no effect because of my lack of self-control. What exactly was Paul's ministry? It was the furtherance of the gospel, and that is our ministry and every Christian's ministry expressed in various ways. If we don't govern, rule, or discipline our bodies, then we put the gospel in danger. The stakes aren't any lower for us than they are for Paul. Paul writes later to Timothy and to us, be diligent to present yourselves approved. God forbid that we would sacrifice our effectiveness for the kingdom of heaven because we have been unruly, uncontrolled, undisciplined in any area of our lives. And if you haven't heard from the Lord in a long time, or it's been ages since he's given you vision for a ministry, a vision that you would go out in his gifting and in his calling, then it's important to ask yourself if you are so busy with your liberties that you're not listening, you're not hearing the Lord's voice. Or is it that you are undisciplined in a particular area in your life that would limit the Lord using you? The Lord Jesus spoke in a parable to his servant and said, "You have been faithful in the small things. I will make you ruler over many things." So are we disciplined in our daily lives, our daily tasks of our home? We must be disciplined in our homes. We must be diligent. If we are married and have children in our homes, our diligence, our disciplined life is directly affecting our family for good or for bad. And the Proverbs 31 woman, her family was greatly blessed by her diligent and disciplined life. She was someone who was ready to be used by the Lord. So what are some other areas in our lives that require discipline? The non-negotiable areas of discipline, again, are spending time in God's Word and in prayer. If we don't do this, we will lose the right motivation and goal for our disciplined life, any areas of our life. We must discipline our body. We must eat and exercise. Take care of our bodies. Handle them right. We must discipline our eyes. We shouldn't set anything evil before our eyes, the Bible tells us. We shouldn't lust after any man. And on another note, we should even discipline our eyes from looking at an inappropriate woman, either in a magazine, in a movie, because we could think that this is harmless because same sex. But she is encouraging us and shaping us to act that way or to dress that way. We need to discipline our eyes from that as well. Those things take our eyes off of Jesus. We need to discipline our ears. Anything that would stir up a desire in our hearts for something other than Jesus. No listening to gossip. We need to discipline our mouth. We need to rule our tongue. We shouldn't be saying anything that comes into our mind. Snappy answer, a wrong tone, tearing down, certainly not gossip. We need to also discipline ourselves to do what we'll say we're going to do. So to go forth and be disciplined in what we've said, we've given our word. We need to be disciplined in our mind, bringing every thought captive that dishonors or is unworthy of the Lord. That could be fear, it could be anxiousness, it could be a thought of temptation. Disciplining the mind to think on things that are true and lovely and of good report. We need to discipline our time, redeeming the time. Is there a purpose to what I am doing? That's a good question to ask. Who is benefiting by this? We want to use our time wisely and be disciplined and controlled with our time. We want to be disciplined with our finances. We should be self-controlled with our finances, not controlled by our finances. And I have found personally that it is very hard to isolate discipline or undisciplined areas in my own life. They creep into all the different areas of my life. The more disciplined I become in one area of my life, the more disciplined I become in all areas of my life. The Lord has taught me that it takes a love for Him and a wholehearted desire to please Him for me to live a disciplined life. At one point in my life, I was a sorry runner. I would walk, then I would run, then I would walk, then I would run, then I would sprint. And then in my selfish stupidity, think that somehow I should get rewarded with some form of laziness because of that sprint. We can be so twisted in our minds, and we can be prone to think that the areas of our lives that we are disciplined in make up for those areas that we are undisciplined in. We can say, hey, I freely admit it. It's a weakness that I have. Everybody knows. But what good does it do to admit it if we're not going to change it? We need to change those areas in our lives. And every day now I think about my goal, my purpose, God's will for me, and I walk in that. When I'm in my home or I'm out in different situations, different environments, This goal is in the forefront of my mind. And if I face something that does not match my goal, I refuse it. It's worth the ruthlessness that I must use because I love the Lord. I want to be faithful to Him. And I don't want to miss out on any way that He wants to use me. I want to present myself approved. And I know you do too. If you look at your life and you find it hard to find areas that you are disciplined in, that you can find areas that it's easier to find undisciplined areas than disciplined areas. If you say whatever comes to your mind, then you need to look soberly at your goal and motive in life because it goes back to that. It's not all these list of things. It's what is our motive? What is our goal? When you came to Christ, was your self-seeking given over to seeking and pursuing God? No should be a common word in the Christian vocabulary. We should have said no 20, 30 times today already. For those of us who have walked with the Lord for many years, we must remember that we don't receive seniority privileges. It is even more vital that we be disciplined in our later years of walking with the Lord than our early years because we have a greater influence. Our fall would have a larger effect on the body of Christ. We also have knowledge and wisdom from walking with God. And that isn't just for ourselves, but it's supposed to be used for the furtherance of the kingdom. And if our lives are not controlled or disciplined, then we will limit the Lord and how He wants to use us. So a disciplined life is a self-controlled life. Love is the driving force that pushes us toward the goal of Jesus. We must discipline ourselves to obey God's word. Our liberty is being subject to the law of love until the day when we see our Savior's face and hear Him call us, "Thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love and how we want to just respond to Your love. And we know that is manifested in so many different ways, and we know that it's supremely manifested in obedience. And we want to obey You in this area of discipline. And Lord, we just pray that You would speak to our hearts right now. We want to be changed. We want to live an entire life of discipline. We want to be used by You. We want to hear Your voice. We don't want to limit You in any way. We want to bless others. So Lord, I pray that You would give us understanding, give us insight, show us where we need to change.